As in the old days, please be our teacher and teach us how to lead others to you. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yolanda will give to those a survey to you, to those of you who have not had the chance to do it last time. Let me see, how many of you didn't have a survey last week? There are a few. Okay, so Yolanda, if you don't mind, Yolanda is going to share that with you. If you didn't fill that survey, it's just a few things. We'll provide us with some feedback from you, some information. This afternoon, we have decided to divide this bacilli in two major parts. In the beginning, we will show you how, for about 15 minutes each, how to do two types of Bible studies, and you will find it under different names. For now, we call them the presenter's method, which is when you go to talk to someone, they are not as good as with reading or don't have, you know, skills to put together, to write, to read that well. And for some of the people, the best way is that you basically explain to them, you present to them the biblical concepts. And you call that the presenter's way of doing it. The second way, and that's going to be Justin. Justin is going to be the teacher, and I will be the student. Shall I give him a hard time, or shall I be a good student? A hard time? Okay, I'll give him a hard time. Justin, it's going to be on you. But the second way of doing Bible studies is you give the Bible study to the person, like, for example, you give it to him today and you say, or to him or to her, and say, well, this is the way, and it's Joseph and Yolanda that's going to do that. They will do it together. So you'll see how they do it. Basically, you give the Bible study to someone, they look over the Bible study, do the best they can, and then you review the Bible study a week later. So there are the presenter's possibility and the review possibility. So Justin and myself will do that. Afterwards, then we do that about 15 minutes each team. After that, what we would like to do is to give you the chance to do the same with someone that's present here today. So if you don't mind, when we finish with the presentation, you will be asked to do it with someone, you know, to just you to do some practice. So maybe we can, afterwards we shall pair, and you'll do that for about a half an hour. When we finish that section, we'll have a time for question and answers, and I'll have something to share with you in the end. So, Justin? Or Yolanda, or who's first? Yolanda and Joseph? Okay, go ahead.
Just make sure that those who are watching online can view. Richard, is this okay? All right, Richard says we're good. And how's everybody doing out there? All right, praise the Lord, we're glad you're here. And as Pastor said, we're gonna go over, because so many people it could be paranoid when you go and visit somebody or you haven't even made it to the house and you're sweating bullets. Just know that many have been in your shoes. And one thing that we learned from last week is that our biggest obstacle is us. Our biggest obstacle is us. And a lot of individuals want to figure out how to bypass an experience that is necessary. Did you hear what I said? A lot of people want to bypass an experience that is necessary. In other words, we want to try to gain all the information that we can because we think that somehow, some way, it's going to remove the anxiety, it's going to remove the fear, and I'm going to feel well equipped. I'm ready to give a Bible study. Well, that's when you are going to fall flat on your face because pride goeth before a fall, right? And so it's an experience, please understand that, that everybody that goes door to door or that gives a Bible study must have. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
It's an experience that you must have. Don't think that there's anybody other than Jesus who was equipped and could go out and give a Bible study perfectly the first time. It is a learning curve for all of us, brothers and sisters. And we overcome things. And one of the beautiful things is we learn things about ourselves when we give Bible studies. So please, don't think you're here to gain a whole bunch of information. Laodicea has tons of that. But it's actually going and doing it and getting that experience that you begin to say, it's an experience that we can't relay necessarily in words. So please keep that in mind. So Yolanda is the one coming to my house because she gave me the Bible study.
So I knock, he open, and we, you know, in the living room, okay? Just don't want to show up and go into the house. So hi, Joseph. So how have you been?
I've been good since the last time we met. This Bible study was, it was really, really interesting.
I'm really glad that it was very interesting for you. Yeah. So tell me, do you have any question about the lesson that I dropped off last week?
I did, but everything was kind of, it was just kind of eye-opening and self-explanatory. I mean, I didn't know that the Bible, you know, it just actually said so much that it just showed me that, you know, no human being could have written this. It was amazing.
Exactly. I mean,
it was strange to me.
Yes, and that's the beautiful thing, because let me share with you something that the individual that gave me Bible studies for the first time taught me. You see, we have a Bible, and it says Bible, right?
Yeah.
It's basic information before leaving Earth.
Here. I need that information, too. I need that information. You know, one other thing that really stood out to me in, you know, just learning about Jesus is how much he used the Bible. I mean, he used it a lot from what I was reading. There was a lot, I think it says here in Matthew, you know, I kept reading, Jesus was saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And I realized that he quoted a lot of the Bible.
Yes, and that was, you know, Jesus, you know, that he quoted the Bible, because Jesus never did something that he just expects us to do, but he studied the Bible, you know, fulfill the Bible, but as well, he is teaching us.
You know, I noticed that too, because I was thinking, and I said, you know what, a lot of people, you know, they say this is what they think the Bible says, but I'm realizing that Jesus was quoting actually what the Bible says, and that was amazing. And what also blew me away was I was reading about how the Bible said things were going to happen before they were happening. I think that name is the names I couldn't pronounce, but man.
Same. It took me forever to pronounce his name, but
yeah.
Yes.
Key Nebuchadnezzar. that guy, wow. I mean, he really liked gold. But I was realizing how the Bible was telling us about these kingdoms before they even, you know, came on the scene. And yeah, it was kind of, I had a lot of questions. I still got a lot of questions. Like, what do all those, you know, what do those beasts mean? And what do those, you know, there was a statue he had a dream of or something. What does all that mean?
So, yes. So, you know, that's talking about Daniel. He had a dream.
Yeah.
And then from there, you guys like to explain a little bit about, you know, kind of give, not the whole study on Daniel 2, but just kind of give him some points. It's to prepare that study for your next Daniel 2 study, whatever lesson that was on, okay? So, yes. So, Daniel, you know, had a dream, and there's a big statue and everything, like different goals that represent different kingdoms. But, you know, Joseph, you know how God was able to tell Daniel that information and give him the future before everything happened. Yeah. Imagine that. You know, that's like in nations, but your life. So since you were born until, I don't know how long you're going to, you know, be living in earth, but, you know, God knows your life. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's something that I didn't think about. But, yeah, you're right. Another thing is, you know, I was taught in school, you know, certain things, and it, you know, we've always believed that the earth was round, and you know, we laugh at individuals that say the world is flat, but it was kind of shocking to find out that the Bible had said that the earth was round before many scientists begin to say that it was round. And yes. I saw that, I guess, you know, the Bible does have something to say about science. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, that was another eye opener that I found that I, you know, I'll take
and just
with me.
Of, you know, like knowing that, how does that affect you personally, you know, with, you know, getting to know God now that you're experiencing God and, yeah. you know, getting answers from the Bible? How does that make you
well,
feel?
Well, it, you know, just lets me know how little I do know, and that, you know, I should probably learn a little bit more, because maybe, you know, God knows more than I do. And, you know, I just think I'll read a little bit more and see what else I can find out.
Okay.
'Cause I didn't know that God really cared about my health in that way. I didn't know that there were certain animals and different things that he was telling people not to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is, you know, you don't really think that the Bible has anything to say about that, but it does.
It does, yes. And how does your family feel about you having Bible studies and learning this new truth?
Well, me and my wife, when we were going over it, she was interested too, because, you know, she's a fitness instructor.
Oh.
And she said that God is pretty smart, so I, you know, we're just blown away right now at our first study of what we learned. But I had a question.
Sure.
I was curious, because my neighbor, he said that, you know, this was in the past and we can kind of eat whatever we want to eat. And so I was kind of confused.
Mm.
Is that true? Can we, like, eat whatever we want to eat right now? Or?
Well, if, you know, I agree with your wife when she says that God is really, really smart. And, you know, if God was the one that created you, created me, created everyone else, don't you think that he knows better what's best for us? Just like someone that have created a, you know, like built an iPhone or a truck, you know, they know what's best. You know, it has a manual, right?
Yeah.
You have to go pump gas. I don't like paying for gas because it's expensive. So if I could put coconut oil, that would be cheaper. So do you think it's okay for me to put coconut oil on my truck?
No, you wouldn't go very far.
Why not?
Yeah, it's because it's not built, it's not designed to take coconut oil.
Okay, see, well, it's the same thing with God. Yeah. See, God gave us the Bible, and he gave us information there because he was our creator, so he knows what's best for us.
Yeah.
So it's just the same thing there.
I got you. Yeah, that, and there was just so much in here from history, and, you know, me and my wife, we went back and we wanted to check to see if, you know, these things were true. Mm-hmm. About, you know, Babylon, whatever you said about that place being real, and Medo-Persia, and me and my wife, we used to watch the movie King of Persia, and, you know, it's just amazing that all these kingdoms were talked about before we knew about them.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that, wow, God had told that these kingdoms were going to come, and then they go. Yeah, it was just, yeah, it was a lot to ingest, but I really enjoyed it, and, you know, I'm going to keep reading it to find out more and more.
I'm glad, Joseph. And as well, you know, as you study, write down your questions, and the next week when I come, yeah. we can go over them as well. But
okay.
Is there anything that I can pray for, your family, anything?
Well, my wife, right now, because of COVID, you know, the gyms are closed. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't been able to work. And so I'm the only one that's working right now, and it's very tough for us. So if you could just remember, you know, us in prayer, and, you know, maybe she'll find work, or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe this COVID thing will go away. But, yeah, I think that'll.
Okay. And how are your little ones doing?
Oh, they're doing good, believe it or not. Our littlest one, the baby, she keeps me up at night. But I know that when I wake up, I got plenty of time to look at this study. So it all works out real good.
Well, Joseph, as you keep studying the Bible, you know, God will continue to give you wisdom. And not only for you, but as well, you know, like for your family, to help them, to help your wife, to help your little ones, you know, yeah. continue being, you know, a good influence, not only, you know, for home, family, but our community.
Okay? I got you. All right.
All right. So we just pray, and if he has any questions, I'm going to stick a little bit longer, but if not, I just take off.
Yeah. Are there any questions before we close, before I make a statement? Brother Tony. No, she'll give the study right. She'll actually take this study. And normally what I do is I take the study from them. And I ask, were you able to complete it? And then I look on the back, and if they say, yeah, that's when, while I'm holding the study, I'll say, is there anything that, you know, that caught your eye or caught your attention in the study? And they say, you know what, there was one. And oftentimes they say, you know what, I wrote it down on one of the pages in there. And that's when I give them the study back, because that does two things. I get to see if they actually did it. And then if they did write something down, it's in here. Or if they need it back to reflect on it, they now have it. And now we can start talking. They can do the majority of the talking. But I want you to notice that she would ask questions, and I would do the majority of the talking. And when you're doing it that way, and you judge it by the person that you're studying, okay? You judge it. Some people are very vocal. Some people do a lot of talking in their study. Others, you'll see, will require the presenter method. Any more questions? Or did you want to add something, Yoli?
Yes. Skit, I can say, sometimes the person that you guys are going to be studying are very talkative, and that's really good because, you know, they are enjoying your company and, you know, conversing with you. But when the individual is talking about everything else except for what they study, then you want to take control.
Yeah.
You want to, like, okay, like, always bring it back, always bring it back. But if that individual is like, oh, yeah, question A, I study this, and he asked this, what does that mean? Well, they're talking about the study, the lesson. So that's really good, because that tells you a lot of things about that person. They took their time, you know, they fill up the study guide, they answered the question, they actually went through the Bible and got the answers from the Bible. And as well, in the back of the lesson guide, it has a question for the individual filling up the lesson guide. So it's a question, it's kind of like a review from the whole lesson. And so the review, so if they fill this part out, that means that they were really, really into the study guide and they really enjoyed it.
All right, I got a question for you guys out there. Okay, we got two over here. Yeah. That's the presenter method. So when you're there and you're going, a lot of times you'll get that. You won't go through the whole study with them, but you'll walk with them halfway. You'll get them halfway there. All right, somebody else had their hand up. Yeah, and here's the thing, and hopefully we can get another day to go through this. You'll find out that there are many connections. Personally, we get all of the inquiries from all of our famous Adventist media outlets, from It Is Written to Amazing Facts to Voice of Prophecy. If anyone is interested in the Bible, or if anybody sends in any information, they'll send that to us and let us know. Not only that, when we have evangelistic events, when we have the Amen Clinic, when we have Walk Through Bethlehem, sometimes we get an overwhelming amount of names that we can't really get to them all. By the time we do get to, like, the last part, they have forgotten that they filled that out or anything like that. So I'll share this. The problem is not finding individuals who are interested. The problem is actually going and investing in, you know, seeking those lost, because there are people who want the studies. As I mentioned last week, last year, more Bibles were sold than any other year that had been recording sales of Bibles. Any more questions? Which you're talking about, all the studies or one? It depends on the individual. It all depends on the individual. Yeah, some people, I've gone over it. I told them to keep it, and we'll go over it again when you get back, when I get back. Some of them say, you know what, I wasn't able to finish. And I do both. I do a review and presenter if they weren't able to finish. Because remember, I meet them halfway. This time, I meet them at the halfway point and carry them the rest of the way. But then I leave it with them. I leave it with them. Because if that interest is sparked, I want them to finish it. I don't want them to get in a habit of doing it halfway and then skipping on to something else, because I want them to understand. I want them to have an understanding. So it depends on the individual. Some people can sit, it may take an hour to 2 hours to do. Exactly. And you want to listen to, you say, okay, was there, they'll normally tell you why they weren't able to finish, but you want to take that answer. If they say, you know what, job or work was just so busy, they say, you know what, I was only able to do half of it. And you say, well, you know what, we'll hold on to it then, and then you can finish it up, and I'll get it from you then. And then what I do is just really touch on what they did already. I get to put more concentration into that. Any more?
How long do you spend with them? And how long is it expected that the class should be finished?
Me personally, I'll let Yolanda answer too. Sometimes I've been there for 15 minutes. Between 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and an hour. There's some individuals that we've been getting so deep that they would want me to stay forever. But you can't do that.
Same thing. Some individuals, they just want to get a question answered and be done. But some, you know, they want to, they have questions and they want you to guide them. Like, where's that found? And, you know, you go with them in the Bible. And so Max, Jess, and I spend anything from 45 to an hour with them.
Yeah.
Yes, once a week. Unless they request twice a week or three times a week. So it all depends on the individual.
I don't let them keep the... after I am done taking it home and I go through it, because when you're using Amazing Facts especially, they have the box that you check. And you want to make sure that they check the correct boxes. And this is why we ask them, was there anything that you didn't understand? A lot of times everybody will be like, oh, no, I understood it completely. And you get it home, and it's like 50% of the answers are wrong. And they say, you know what, they're not really clear on this. And so you're able to go back and say, you know what, you don't even have to say, I wanted to go over this. You can entwine into the next message you're about to give, you start going over. Anyone else? We got 2 minutes left, and then Justin and Pastor will be coming up. Anyone else?
Okay.
All right. Did you want to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, since, you know, I was asking question about his family, how they're doing, anything that I can pray for. That's kind of like for me to ask. Okay, get into his home without being pokey. Like, oh, so what happened? You know, tell me everything. No, it's just like when we ask, what could I pray for? It's a good way to find out what's going on in his home. So I can know what lessons to bring and what principles of the lesson to bring out, highlights of the lesson that can help his home and help him and his family. So that's why I ask those questions. And as well, I find out that his wife, you know, loves going to the gym. I don't like going to the gym, but because I'm befriending them, you want to be able to hang out with them, relate with them. There was one of my Bible study contact, I don't see her here, but she loved hiking. She's like, I can go hiking with high heels on. And I'm like, I don't even hike a mile. So guess what I did? I went hiking. It was supposed to be a, what's called beginner's hiking. It was 6 miles.
With high heels
on. Not a beginner's. But I did it because I went to hang out with them. And because of that, now, you know, I can actually do 3 miles and I complain. So, yeah, so it's just a way to get to know them. And as we hang out with them, giving Bible studies, but as well, like I said last time, hanging out with them, getting to know them, it's a good way to find out how we can help them.
Amen. And that doesn't give you license. If your Bible study context say, can you drive me to go get some cigarettes? Don't do that.
Yeah, no.
Don't do that. All right. No, that's why I was hoping Justin would come up here, but he was indisposed.
He was right here.
All right. He was here in spirit. All right.
So, by the way, I do it a little bit different than Joseph. I use it as written studies, and I use them because the student has to write the answer to the Bible passages. So, one of my main goals is to lead people to the Bible, to have people reading in the Bible themselves. So I have chosen, it is written. And again, my method is different. If I study, I give the study. I expect them to study at home. And when I meet with them, I said, any questions, as they did, any questions, as no question. Okay, let's go through the study. Let's review the study together. So I have chosen to review the study with the student. By doing that, it happened to me many times. They'll say, oh, now I understand it. Because they go through the study, they think they have understood it. But once you go with them through the study, I don't know if that's your experience, you guys, if you have experienced the same thing. Mm-hmm. But my experience is, as you go with them through the study, they understand way more as you go with them through the study. So that is my, and by the way, I leave the study with them. So I usually I do not give the whole set in the beginning. I give them study number one, then next week study number two, and so on and so forth. When I am coming by half of it, kind of, then I give the whole box. When I know that they are, you know, established somewhat, I give them the whole package. Okay, well, we'll go through this. So, Justin is coming to do, this is a presenter's Bible study, where I don't like to read. I'm a guy that, you know, I'm very practical. I don't like to read. I'm dyslexic. I don't like reading. So, he realized what kind of a guy I am, and now he chose the presenter's method, which actually he is teaching me the study.
Amen. Before we get started here, can somebody keep track of the time? Can someone put a timer for 15 minutes? The reason I say that is because Pastor likes to preach. I like to preach. We're both up here with a mic. So if we're not timed, we might be here all day, which is okay because you came here to be trained anyway, right? Come on. Now, as was mentioned, what you saw just now was the review method, right? Where you drop the study off and review that study. I do that at times, but what I do more than I do not, what I do is actually I come, I present first, and then I leave them with that study guide for them to review after I presented it with them. So what you're about to see today is a presenter view, and at the end, I always leave them with a guide or some kind of supplemental material that they can go over what I already studied with them, and then I'll do a brief review the next week before we get into the next topic. The reason being is because these guides, whether it be It Is Written, Amazing Facts, any good Bible study guide builds upon one principle upon another. So you always want to review before you build onto the next building block to make sure everyone's clear on what they're doing, because those truths all intertwine, right? But with that being said, let's go ahead and get started. So how should I address you?
Octavian.
Mr. Panero?
No, okay. Call me Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, all right. So, Mr. Jones.
Hey, good to see you, young man. So good to be young again. Yeah, welcome. Welcome.
How are you doing today?
Are you alone today?
I am. My wife couldn't make it to the study.
That's good. I'm sure she's busy. Kids, life, well, I know.
Yeah. So, how are you today?
Good. Thank you. Good.
Amen. So because it's our first study, I usually ask this question with people. What's your religious background? Do you have any kind of religious background?
You know, I grew up Catholic, but I kind of drifted away. Okay. You know, as we all do somehow. You know, God understands. Well, life is life, so. But I'm getting interesting. You know, get older, you know, kind of see it all. So I'm curious. What are you selling there? So it's fine.
You know, they say curiosity killed the cat, but curiosity could be a good thing when you're curious about God's word.
Yes, amen? Yeah, right.
So with that being said, let's have a word of prayer before we start the Bible study, shall we?
Me?
If you feel comfortable praying, if not, I can
no,
pray.
No. If you want to do it, not me. Sorry.
Not a problem. Well, I have a word of prayer. I always start with prayer before we open the word of God.
Okay.
Let's pray.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Father, as we study your word, we pray for wisdom and guidance. We ask that your Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth as you have promised in your word. Lord, you promise us that we will know the truth, that the truth will make us free. We claim and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. So today's lesson, we're actually going to be studying what the Bible claims about itself. So,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
We're going to be studying what the Bible claims about itself. What does the Bible tell us about itself?
I see. I understand.
Okay. You know, the Word of God is our main textbook. We're going to be.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Jimmy, what do you want? Huh? Yeah, I told you, I'll sell it to you. No, don't bother me again. All right. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. So today we're going to be studying what the Bible says about itself. The Word of God is our textbook, so we got to go through it and see what the Bible says about itself. Many will look and question and doubt the Word of God, but let's see what the Word of God has to say about itself. If you want to know about someone, what's the best person? Who is the best person to ask about that?
That person,
right?
Well, right.
We're studying the Word of God. We want to see what the Word of God says about itself. We don't want to go to other sources that speak about the Bible, but we want to go to the Bible
you,
and see what it says.
Are you a religious person?
I am.
Oh, good. Okay. Sorry.
Well, let's start off. We're going to go to 2 Timothy, and if you have your Bible and you like to read along.
Yeah, you gave me a Bible, but kind of, you know, I don't really know how to use this thing. I don't know. Yeah, what did you say?
So we're going to be going to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy
is
towards the end of the Bible.
What is that? What page? What page is that?
What page?
Yes, I guess.
Okay,
I can read the page.
Let me interject here. This is very good. This is someone who clearly is very new to the Word of God because he's asking what page is the scripture on. You know, there are actually certain Bibles that we can give out that have the page number. Well, all Bibles have the page number listed. But what I like is if you stick to a certain Bible to give to all your Bible study contacts, you can actually have the page number of the verses you're going to be going through written down. So you could actually tell them, turn to this specific page. In this sense, he has his own Bible, I have my own Bible, it's going to be different page numbers.
Suppose that I have your Bible.
Yeah, if it's somebody who is very fresh and they don't have the, they don't have a Bible and I gave them that Bible, I will have those page numbers written down in that study guide next to each verse so that I can simply say, turn to this. It saves a lot of time, it's very efficient. In this case, we don't have those page numbers, but. So we're going to 2 Timothy.
Okay, what page is that?
So it's on page 556. We'll just say that for now.
556. 556.
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
So the chapter is going to be that big number at the top, and the verses is the little numbers next.
I'm sorry. Jimmy, is you again? I told you, man, $3,000. Don't bother me again. I know this man here. We do this Bible thing. Don't call me again. Call me tonight, okay? Bye. I'm sorry. I have this friend who wants to buy my car.
Yeah.
I told him that I'm going to give him a good price. Do you want to buy a car?
No. I'm here not for a car, but I'm here to teach you about the way
of salvation. That's fine. If you need one, I repair cars on the side, and I'm very good at it. I can. Good.
Yeah. That's good.
Yes. Okay. What did you say about John? Oh, no, John. How do you call this? Timothy.
So, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3.
The second of Timothy, yes.
and verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now let me ask you, what does that word, when it says all scripture is given by inspiration, what do you think that means? What does that mean to you?
I told you that I don't know what this is. I mean, I stopped going to church when I was young. I don't really understand.
Yeah,
but
no problem.
Do you know?
Sorry, what was that?
Do you know what this thing means? How do you say that? Inspiration, yes.
Inspiration.
Yes.
It says here, all scripture is given by inspiration. If you actually look at this word, originally the New Testament was written in Greek and translated into English. That original Greek word that they translate in English to inspiration literally means God breathed. And it's interesting because in the creation account, when God created Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life. So what the Word of God is telling us is that by saying, no problem. You might want to just turn the phone off for the time being.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. So it says here, all scripture is given by inspiration. That word means God breathed. God breathed life into Adam and he became a living soul. And we're told that all scripture is given by inspiration, or all scripture is God-breathed. In other words, he breathed the same breath of life into his word that he breathed into Adam. So when we're reading the Bible, it's not just another book of lifeless words. Or it's not just another book or a fairy tale.
Who wrote the Bible?
That's a very good question. We're going to see that as we actually go through the study today.
Oh, okay.
It tells us more about that as well.
Don't forget, because I'm really interested, who's this guy that wrote this book? I mean, he must have been a really smart guy.
You know, let me ask you a question. You asked a good question. Who wrote the Bible? As we'll see through the study, many people wrote the Bible as they were actually inspired by God.
Mm.
But if you gave me a pen and I wrote something down on a piece of paper, who would you say wrote what was written?
You.
I wrote it, right?
Yes.
The pen didn't write it, but the pen was a tool in my hand. You see, who really wrote the Word of God? I would say that God wrote the Word because it's his letter to humanity. But he used human as the instruments in his hand, just like we take a pen and we write. But we don't say that the pen wrote it. We wrote it, but we used the pen as a tool.
And do you think everybody can understand the Bible? I mean, I was taught that only the priest understand the Bible, so I guess, are you a priest?
I'm not a priest.
Oh, okay.
I'm not
right.
A priest.
No, I have nothing against, some of them are good guys, but...
Yeah. That's a very good question. That actually leads us right into the next verse. Let's look at who wrote the Bible, and we'll see how we can understand the Bible. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a little further back in the Word of God.
The page? What is that?
2 Peter. So it's page 236 in my Bible.
Okay, 2 Peter 236.
So 2 Peter, we're going to look at chapter 1 and verse 21. And would you happen to like to read that verse?
I'm going to try. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit?
That's a great question. So the Word of God teaches us that there is a God. There's God the Father, you have His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three make up what is known as the Godhead. These three are one, they're God. We're going to cover more of this in another study.
I see.
And what we see is that the Holy Spirit, who is God, actually spoke and inspired these men to write the Word of God. Notice what it says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. What that means is that somebody didn't just wake up one day and decide, hey, I'm going to write a book and call it the Bible. But it says that prophecy did not come by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, who is God, moved upon them. He gave them these ideas. That's why I say God was the author, because he's the one that inspired them with what to write. And they simply wrote it. They were his penmen.
Are we up? Who's keeping the time?
Yeah,
2 minutes. 2 minutes, okay.
All right.
No, let's give them a chance to ask questions.
Okay. Are there any questions on what we covered so far?
Instead of paying for the Bible study,
Is it okay to get Bible studies every day? That's a good question. I would say not every day, and the reason being, there's some people that are very interested, they want a lot of knowledge. But practically speaking, we have to ask the question, how much information can that person retain and keep in mind if they're going over a new topic every day? There are times I've studied with people up to 3 times a week. Someone was very interested, they wanted to learn more. And I have studied with people up to 3 times a week, but I make sure that they're grasping the information before we move on. Usually starting with someone who's new, once a week is ideal because they have time to soak in that information and to really digest that information and take it in, right? What we don't want to do is overload someone with so much information that they forget 80% of it, and it's kind of useless, excuse me, at that point, because they're not retaining what we're covering. And the second thing is, even if they did retain all of that information, we're not coming to inform people. We want to transform them through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit moving upon the heart, right? So that's the most important thing. So I'd say be careful about overdoing it, because we can overload people with information. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is true, you know, through the verses, and then he reads the verses, and I try to explain. Sometimes it'll self-explanatory, and then sometimes he'll be like, what does it mean about this?
Right. And in that sense, I would say that's okay, because you're working with the individual and you're studying with them while you have free time. So, yeah, just be careful of not overloading with information, but if he's inquiring and he's asking questions and he has that time while you're at work to ask you questions and want to study, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. But yeah, when we're going through doctrinal studies and we're going through things like that, because a lot of the content can be heavy and it takes time to absorb, you will want to be a little more careful with that. But in that sense, when you're just going through studying the scriptures together, that's actually very good. So I hand over here. That's a good question. It is common for people to have distractions, to have different things on. You can very respectfully ask them, you know, sometimes you will go to a house and someone will have the TV on and the volume kind of turned on, but it's still a distraction. And you say, hey, perhaps have you considered turning off the TV? We just like to avoid any distractions, anything that would take your mind away from the Word of God. And it's ways you can say it very tactfully. Sometimes you may be in a room where there are no actual distractions, but the person's attention span is short, and you see them kind of wandering and drifting off. And when you've been working, and that's the advantage of sticking with someone and studying with them for a while, because you start seeing what kind of things it is that grabs their attention. And you can use those attention, you can actually package the study in a way that grasps their attention and brings them back. And if you see them start to stray, you can package it in a way that grabs their attention. For instance, young people, you're going to teach that study differently than you will an adult, because they're going to get distracted if you sit there and lecture to them, right? So it's all about packaging it to the individual. If you notice, one of the questions I asked Mr. Jones here when we got started with our study, I asked him, Mr. Jones, what is your religious background? Do you have any kind of religious background? And I asked him a couple personal questions, and the reason being is because that helps me to package the study in a way that I can deliver it to him. Someone who's not religious or does not have a religious background, they're probably not going to know as much about the Bible as somebody who, say, was raised in a Sunday-keeping church and is now interested in learning more about Adventism or so on and so forth, right? So you always want to ask kind of where the person's at, and use that information to your advantage to package the study in that way. Yeah. You bring up a very good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times what I do, let's say I go to someone's house and there's a lot of distractions. They have dogs. The dogs are constantly barking. They have kids running around and different things. Something I will suggest is, hey, you know, the church is not far from here. Perhaps we can meet at the church. Why? Because that eliminates 95% of the distractions right there. You walk into church, there's no TV. There's no music playing. There's no distractions, there's no things. It's usually very quiet throughout the day. So if that person is able to meet me at the church, I will actually hold the Bible studies here simply to eliminate a lot of the distractions, right? So it's just working around your environment. If they can't, then you got to do what you can do in that given situation, right? But the best thing you can do is find a quiet place where you can study with them.
Well, what would we do? You have access to church.
Right. So that's why I was saying, you know, finding a quiet place wherever that may be.
But I think you might have access to the church. The church is open?
The church is open. We have a secretary here. The church is open. If you find... I think there's something wrong with me.
Hold the mic up a little higher. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So the church is open. And if you find someone that, you know, you need to study, you need a place to study... you are welcome to come to church. The secretary is here. We can open for you. You come and say, would you mind if I use the foyer for a Bible study? It's open. You can use it. Anybody can use it.
Amen.
I want to mention something. I had a Bible study with a lady. She had two hyperactive kids and a hyperactive dog. So... there was always distractions. Sometimes the only thing to do is to pray that somehow, I'm honest, to pray that God will, because it becomes so disruptive that you can't basically study. So to pray that God will somehow do something, so bring some quietness and peace.
Amen. That's a good question. Oftentimes, somebody will be the one who actually was the interest in wanting to study. But every time I start studying with that individual, I ask, do you have anyone in your family, any friends who you think might be interested in joining in on the study? And if you can get that study to grow within that home, then, you know, praise God, you're spending that time with them, but you're not just studying with that one individual. The more people that come and get involved, I've gone to people's houses to study with them, and they say, now that you mention it, my neighbor would love to join in. The next study, the neighbor joins in. And my wife shared a story about how she knocked on one door. 8 people were baptized as a result of that. And she only had one interest to begin with when she knocked on that door. It was a lady. Her husband didn't even want to take in Bible studies, for those of you who weren't here last week when she told the story. But what it led to was 8 baptisms as a result. So you always want to ask and say, is there anyone else you think will be interested? Thank you for bringing that point up and that question. Because God will work in mysterious ways, and what turned out as one interest can turn into many more, right? We want that influence to spread. Amen?
Let's stop here for a moment. If you don't forget your questions, in the end we'll have more questions. What we thought of doing it is giving you the chance to practice with someone, And I'm looking at Yolanda, Joseph, and Justin and myself, and I need your feedback. Another option would be to divide the people in four groups, and each one of you would be with one group, and you work with that group and do practice in the group where we are. How's that for you? I'm looking at you, three guys, three people. Mm-hmm. Yolanda, Joseph, Justin, what do you think?
Yeah.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the idea is to give you the chance to practice a little bit in with someone, if that's what you want to do. So maybe we can divide ourselves. Someone can be here in the front. Yolanda, would you be here in the front? Joseph, you'll be there in the front. Justin, will you Sabbath school classes? And I'll go in the other corner. So let's kind of divide ourselves in four. And you don't, all of you go to Joseph. A few people, I hope, will come to me. So so let's try to you divide yourself.